If you will, take your Bible and open to Psalm 98. As you're opening up there, I don't want to alarm you or cause you to go into a panic, but Christmas is 10 days away from today. I don't know if you've realized that or not. I was telling some earlier, Dawn and I, every year after Christmas is over, we say the same thing. Next year, we're going to start early. We're going to start shopping early so we can get done early and be done with it. And I told somebody a while ago, I said, we say that every year, and every year we do not do it. And the other day I looked at the calendar and I went, we are 2 weeks from Christmas and we have not bought everything we need to buy. And I hope you don't go into a panic or into a frenzy this morning realizing it's 10 days away. Hopefully for many of you, you are finishing up buying those last Christmas gifts. However, I don't believe that about everybody. Probably for some of us, we have not even begun our shopping yet. You maybe are planning to do that this week, or maybe planning to do that next weekend. All I can say to you is may God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you peace as you look for those last minute Christmas gifts. With Christmas just 10 days away, if we haven't already, we will soon start gathering with families, with friends, with Sunday school classes, with classmates at school, co-workers for Christmas parties. And as we do that, as we go to those gatherings, our hearts will be filled with joy as we eat all kinds of good food, as we exchange gifts with one another. But for some of us, we find joy hard this Christmas. As for some of us, there is an empty seat at the table that was not there last year. And we might ask ourselves, how can I have joy when my loved one isn't here? Still, for others of us, we might find joy hard because of a difficult family situation. We think of a family squabble or a family relationship that is strained and not quite right, and we might ask, how can I have joy when my family relationships are in the state that they are in? And still, there are others of us that when we even begin to talk about joy, we might ask, how can we talk about joy and think about being joyful when the world is in such a mess that it is in today? We often ask those type of questions and think those things because we think that joy is an attitude that varies with our circumstances. But joy is not an attitude. Biblically speaking, the Bible speaks of joy as being a lasting feeling of contentment, hope, and confidence in Jesus, no matter what our circumstances are. And this joy comes from trusting in God's promises and abiding in God's presence. So joy, biblically, is not an attitude. It is something that comes to our lives having been saved in Christ, and it is a fruit of the Spirit given to us through salvation, according to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. As we think about joy throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Israelites rejoiced in God's favor amid their wandering and trials. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul calls believers to rejoice in the Lord's grace even while he was imprisoned, even while they will experience their own suffering. These examples show how being rooted in God's promises affects our disposition in any situation. And so as we continue to celebrate Advent this morning, we are focusing on the joy Jesus brings. At one time, the entire cosmos, all of creation, Before the fall, when sin twisted everything, the entire cosmos, all of creation, was a place of joy. The world's beauty and function were as God intended it to be. Everything gave glory to God, and God rejoiced in intimate rest with His creation. The Lord shined His blessing on the first humans, and in response, they found joy in the presence of their Maker. Unfortunately, as we read in Genesis chapter 3, mankind did not remain joyful toward God. Enticed by Satan, Adam and Eve no longer saw God as the source of complete satisfaction. They desired to taste counterfeit pleasures and consume temporary happiness. Adam and Eve sinned against God by eating the fruit of the tree which God had commanded them not to eat from. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 7, Scripture indicates that the wickedness of mankind grew and permeated their hearts. Mankind was so depraved that men and women did and thought evil continuously. Sin corrupted God's work. And as a result, the Lord expressed grief and anger at the injustice. His concern was so great that the author of Genesis writes in Genesis 6:6 that the Lord regretted creating mankind. Now, the Lord regretted does not mean that His nature or character changed, or that He had changed His mind, because God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Rather, through the author of Genesis, the Lord revealed His desire to enjoy His creation and His desire to make it right again. So in Genesis 6, God sends a flood to wash away the wickedness. But while God sends the flood as judgment upon the wickedness of mankind, in His grace, He saves a man named Noah, his family, and a pair of every kind of animal from the flood. And then after the flood waters receded, sin still remained. You see, Noah was still sinful, and his joy in the Father would wane. Wickedness would spread once again. So God's people continued to long for someone, for a Messiah who had true joy in the Father. And they would be told throughout the Old Testament through the prophets that the Messiah who was promised to come would usher in a new creation completely dedicated to the Lord. And friends, Jesus Christ is this Messiah. Because of Jesus' perfect obedience, the Father rejoiced in His Son. Jesus did what Noah was unable to do. Fully righteous, Jesus took the punishment for our sin when He died on the cross. And because of His delight in the eternal Son, the Lord, the Father, preserved Jesus from the grave. Jesus rose from the dead and brought an era of restoration to God's creation, and He will one day return to fully restore all so that we as God's creation can live as He intended in perfect joy with Him. Psalm 98 is a psalm which emphasizes these truths. So reading this psalm now, beginning in verse 1, we read these words. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Father, we come to You, and in this season of Advent, we thank You for the hope. We thank You for the peace. And today, we thank You for the joy that is ours in Jesus. As we dive into Psalm 98, may we see why we have much to be joyful for because of who Jesus is. In His name we pray, amen. Every year at Christmas, one of the songs we sing is Isaac Watts' song, Joy to the World. In fact, we sang it this morning. Written in 1719, the song is Watts' reinterpretation of Psalm 98. And it might shock you to discover that it was not written to be a Christmas carol. In fact, if you look at the words, the lyrics of the song, which we sang a moment ago, the lyrics do not reflect the virgin birth of Jesus, but rather focus more on the return of Jesus. Since the 20th century, Joy to the World has been the most published song associated with Christmas in North America, despite not being a Christmas carol. But the truth is, regardless of when we sing this song, it is a good song and a very biblical song. And so with that in mind, and because Isaac Watts wrote it as a reinterpretation of Psalm 98, I want to place the song Joy to the World and Psalm 98 side by side to show us how we can have joy and how we are filled with joy because of Jesus, no matter what our circumstances are this Christmas. So this morning, if you want to take out the hymnal that is there in your pew and turn to hymn 270, you can, as we place that song and this psalm side by side. No matter what your circumstances are this Christmas, joy has come. And we can have joy, not just this Christmas, but every day because of who Jesus is. As we look at the song of joy to the song Joy to the World, verse 1, we read and we sing, Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. If you look back at Psalm 98, verse 1 through 3, we read there, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. We are called in both the song and this psalm, we are called to sing to the Lord a new song, a song of joy. And this song of joy is not based upon our feelings, our attitudes, or our circumstances. It is based solely upon the wonderful things Jesus has done. And so we have to ask, what has Jesus done? The psalm says He has gained victory. And that victory is seen in that He has made salvation known. The psalmist speaks of a Savior. And as Isaac Watts read this psalm, he interpreted that Savior as being Jesus. And so we have joy this Christmas because Jesus is our Savior. Recognizing Jesus as our Savior should cause us to sing joyously to Him. No sinner is beyond the saving power of Jesus. No situation is beyond the rescuing power of Jesus. We sing for joy because Jesus saves and Jesus makes us right with God. There is no other way for unholy man to find acceptance with God except through salvation in Jesus. Friends, God is a saving God whose very nature is to save. This is why the psalm says He has made salvation known. Regarding temporal salvation from earthly trials, He is righteous, rewarding the godly and punishing the ungodly. Regarding eternal salvation, He provides the righteousness that the ungodly sinner needs to be reconciled to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what has caused God to treat ungodly sinners in this way, to make salvation known to them? Verse 3 of Psalm 98 tells us, He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness towards His people. Now, you need to understand that statement does not mean that there was a time when God temporarily forgot about His loving kindness and His faithfulness. This phrase means instead that He acted on the knowledge of His love and faithfulness towards His people. Because of God's loving kindness and His faithfulness, all nations have seen His salvation at work. Jesus is the Savior of His people, and He is committed to their salvation. All people around the world who trust in Jesus will be saved. So we can greatly sing today and every day, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, because Jesus is Savior. But then looking at verse 2 of the song, Joy to the World, we sing, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. And turning to Psalm 98, verses 4 through 6, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with a lyre and the sound of melody. The trumpets and the sound of the horn shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. The psalmist calls upon all people everywhere to shout joyfully to the Lord. Break forth and sing for joy. The psalmist calls us to sing for joy because he is telling us of one who is the King, the Lord. And as Isaac Watts read Psalm 98, he knew this King was Jesus. And so we have joy this Christmas because Jesus is our King. There is only one true King and one true Lord, and all the earth must worship Him. John Piper, understanding this, writes in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, that missions exist because the worship of God by all peoples does not. He says the highest purpose of our evangelism and missions, the highest purpose of us sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people is so that there would be increased numbers of worshipers of the Lord. And as we praise Him and sing joyfully to Him, it should be done with all kinds of music and musical instruments. With a lyre, a stringed U-shaped instrument with strings strung across a sounding board, with the trumpet and the horn. We not only worship with various instruments, but we worship with our voices too, reading here, with the sound of melody. We worship King Jesus with everything we have, with all kinds of instrumentation, with our voices, whether we can carry a tune or can't carry a tune in a bucket. We worship King Jesus because He is King. So we can sing in all of nature with us, joy to the world. The Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy because Jesus is King and He is worthy of our shouts and all the shouts of creation, the joy that is found in Him. looking back now to Isaac Watts' song, Joy to the World, we're going to skip over verse 3 because as Baptists, we typically can't sing all the verses of a song. We can only sing the first and last verses, as we often do with Joy to the World, unless we're feeling extra spiritual on that day, and then we might sing the first, second, and last verses. I'll tell you today, we must feel extra, extra spiritual today because we sang all four verses this morning. But we'll skip over verse 3 and we'll go straight to verse 4. And it says there, He rules the world with truth and grace, makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love. Psalm 98 concludes in this way, Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. All of creation is called to sing to the Lord because He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. As the psalmist speaks to the Lord as a judge, Isaac Watts rightly interpreted this judge as being Jesus. And so we joyfully worship the Lord because Jesus is our judge. And you need to understand what that means. As our judge, Jesus judges righteously and fairly. While God has given some authority to human beings to govern His world, our governments fail because all human beings are sinners. But when Jesus Himself returns and establishes a righteous government, the weary world rejoices. Right now, in fact, Jesus is ruling and reigning over the world, but one day the clouds will part and Jesus will descend with a shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and He will judge all people at that time with righteousness and truth. And on that day, He will establish His eternal kingdom upon the earth, a kingdom of truth and grace. In His judgment of the nations, they will prove that God is God and show the glory of His righteousness and the wonder of His love, as those who have been saved by Him will not endure such judgment. This is why we can now sing, He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love. Because Jesus is judge. So friends, let us sing. Let us sing for joy. Let us sing because the Lord has come. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and First Baptist sing. Let heaven and Nettleton sing. Let heaven and my heart sing. Sing, let us sing for joy because a Savior has been born. A King is ruling and reigning, and a Judge is coming. And His name is Jesus. And I have to ask, if He is Savior, and if He is King, and if He is the coming judge, have you surrendered your life to Him? You see, if you have not been saved by this Savior, because you have not surrendered your life to Him as your King, you can do that today. King Jesus desires to save you. So humble yourself before Him. Repent of your sin today and be saved. Because if you do not do this, then when Jesus comes at His second advent, which is coming, it will not be to save. It will be to judge. And as judge, you will stand before Him and you will be condemned by Him in your sin, and you will be cast away from Him into an eternal hell. But you can be saved from that today by the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord, who is a King who desires to save you. So that when He comes to judge the world, you will not be judged by Him. You will not be condemned by Him. Because Romans 8:1 says, for those who have been saved by Jesus, for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation for them. So friends, let us sing. Let us shout for joy. A Savior has come. A King is reigning. And a Judge is coming. Pray with me. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that a Savior has come. And His name is Jesus. Thank You that a King is ruling and reigning over all things. And His name is Jesus. Thank You that the salvation that has been given to us through Christ has saved us from the judgment that is coming, because Jesus is the Judge who will judge all peoples with equity and truthfulness and righteousness. Right now in this room, under the sound of my voice, there is one, perhaps there are many, who do not know You, Jesus, as Savior, who have not surrendered their life to You as their King. And so right now they are standing under You as You are Judge over them. But all of that can change today if they will humble themselves, repent of their sin, and place their faith in You. Holy Spirit, work in the heart of the lost person today. May they be filled with the joy of salvation that comes from knowing Christ and being saved by Christ, so that they can shout for joy, Jesus is my Savior. He is my King. May they do that today. And may we, as Your people, go out today and every day and say, Jesus is my Savior. He is my King, and He is the Judge of the world who is coming. So to our friends and our families and our classmates and our school, our co-workers and strangers that we encounter on the street, may we say to them, Jesus is King and He is Savior and He desires to save you. And oh, would you be saved by Him? Because He is a Judge who will condemn all those who do not trust in Him. Use us in that great way for Your glory and Your honor. May we now sing out of joyful hearts to You in this time of response. And may we respond as You lead and direct us. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.